It is good to see everyone today, and we welcome you to the Wayne County Bible Center. And if you're listening on our website, we appreciate you so much being with us on our study of faith. So we're going to start out today in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3, a message I've entitled The Divine Ability to See. So we're going to define faith today as the divine ability to see. So what is it that we're seeing through the eyes of faith? Now, we've been studying the faith of Jesus Christ that lives in us. And we saw the faith of Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, where he submitted unto God and he surrendered unto God, and then he trusted God fully with the storm that was in front of him, and that was the cross. And then we saw the faith of Jesus Christ on the cross, where his faith gave him strength to face the trial, endure the trial, and then triumph over the trial. He sat down at the right hand of God. And so Paul says, the life that I now live in Galatians 2:20, I live by that same faith of Jesus Christ. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in us. The faith of Jesus Christ in action on earth lives in us. Amen. Now, today, we want to study more about the specific strengths and abilities of our faith. What is our faith? The faith Jesus has given us, unto every man is given the same measure of faith. This indwelling of divine faith, what does it allow me to do? And the more we realize this, the greater our confidence grows in what is in us. So Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand and know and grasp with certainty that the worlds and the universes were framed by and created by the Word of God, so that all these things that we see were not made of things which already appeared. So, biblically, our universe is not the result of something that already existed. It's not the result of some Big Bang explosion. Order did not result from chaos. Very simple. When you look at the way a hummingbird's painted in a male wood duck, and when you look at an antelope, when you look at flowers and marigolds and azaleas, and when you look at everything that you see a fabulous artist who is painted with wonder and creativity all of creation. It is the one principle of science that evolutionists stand in contradiction of. Every other principle of science tells you order can only be the result of order. But they throw that out the window when it comes to evolution and say order came out of chaos, and that's how the world came into being. So it's hypocritical, it's deceitful, it's a lie, it's of the devil. Creation is a result of things that are not seen. God spoke, and it came. So that's not our message today, but if you're listening in Europe or Saudi Arabia, you got an answer for your evolutionists now. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we ask for forgiveness of daily sin, I do, and a weekly sin that I name to you in my prayer closet out loud. It is, as you describe all sin, filthy rags, worse things. And so, Father, I pray for a cleansing by the blood of Jesus and an anointing body, soul, spirit, and mind to share your truth today. Let me be filled with your spirit, anointed by your spirit. And let me wash the feet of all that are listening, Father, with humility and meekness. And, Father, may we all just glorify you. There is power in these words that we're going to look at today that can change our lives. And Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, as we study this divine energy and strength that we call faith. Holy Spirit, lead us now in your glorious name. Amen. All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith deals with the unseen. Would you just say that with me? Faith deals with the unseen. Faith doesn't deal with the seen. Faith deals with the unseen. Faith deals with the unseen. Then you come down to verse 3 and it says this. Through faith we understand, we know, we comprehend, we grasp with certainty, giving you all the Greek there, that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So by faith, I understand that the world was created by the breath, by the pneuma of God when he vocally spoke a word. Let there be light. And there was light. All right, that's what this verse is saying. Now, let's examine our faith. And the first clue we want to look at is, what does faith have to do with creation? Now, go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Faith is specific. You need to have whatever you're facing today, you write down, I'm facing number 1, I'm facing number 2, number 3, number 4. These are the storms in my life, and I need the energy and the rifle shot of faith in every one of these. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and I'll come back to this, but we'll look at it now. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So here we go again. Faith deals with the invisible. Faith deals with the things that are unseen. Now, look at what he says. For by him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, I'm going to read verse 16 again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. As we study faith today, I want to give you the first principle I want you to grasp before I define faith. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Here it is. In God's universal creation, write that down. In God's universal creation, there exists both visible and invisible realities. In God's universal creation, there exists both visible and invisible realities. I can see the planets. I can see the stars, I can see the sun. I can see you. You can see me. In God's universal creation, there are both visible and invisible realities. So I'm talking today about invisible realities. Would you say that with me? Invisible realities. We're going to find out how strong your faith is. What do you really believe in? Do you believe in the invisible realities? We're going to look at that. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading it. Now, in God's universal creation, there exists both visible and invisible realities. And the invisible realities are just as real, genuine, and authentic as the visible ones. The invisible realities are just as real, genuine, and authentic as the visible ones. I'm going to tell you something right now. There is no entity any more real, any more authentic, and any more genuine than God himself. God himself is real. God himself is genuine. God himself is authentic. And as I look at verse 15, God himself is invisible. So by faith, I believe in the existence and the presence of the invisible God. Amen. You believe that? Yes. I fear for people that don't believe in the existence of God. Oh, there's no God. They don't have faith. God does not exist. They don't have faith. Religion is based on myths and daydreams and fallacies. They have no faith. My faith is a real and genuine spiritual ability given to me by God that gives me the ability to grasp mentally, and I'm just shooting from the hip here, I'll give you the definition in a moment, to grasp mentally and apprehend the invisible realities of God. I can't see Him and I can't touch Him, but I know He's there. Amen. Now, let me show you how important these invisible realities are before we define faith. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You got to make a decision in life. It's going to change your entire life. You're going to have to leave where you're at and go somewhere else. You're going to have to leave the people you've been with all your life. I mean, that's a monumental thing. Happened to a fellow named Moses. In verse 24, it says this, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and to live in the palace as a king of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt." Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, he left Egypt, he ended up in the desert 40 years, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured those 40 years as seeing him who is invisible." Brother Leo, what do you mean you're quitting your job? Brother Leo, what do you mean you're selling everything you have? Brother Leo, what do you mean you're moving here and you're moving there? God has moved upon me. The invisible God, that's how real He is. That's how powerful He is. Your faith lies in the arena of the invisible. Now, I'm going to tell you something. 90% of Christians that are in church every Sunday here in Wayne County and throughout the world, they don't live by faith. They live by sight. They don't live by faith. They live by sight. They might mix in a little faith like a salt shaker every now and then, but they live by sight. And we wonder why there's no power on earth today by the movement of God. Because you're not living by faith. Faith is grasping the invisible realities of God. And that deals with His power. That deals with His wisdom. That deals with His intervention. That deals with His hand just reaching down and pulling you out of the sea of whatever tribulation you're drowning in today. That's where faith rests. So He left everything because He could see the invisible God. And He did it by faith. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You might come out of this series and say, you know, Brother Leo, I've never really lived by faith. I've lived by circumstance. I've never made a decision based on faith in my entire life. I've always made my decisions based on the visible realities. Well, I want you to understand something. I've made 4, 5, 6, 7 major decisions in my life when the visible realities would have told me to go right, but my faith told me to go left. And if you've never done that, you've not experienced the will of God, and you've not experienced the beauty of His power. If we're going to live like lost people, we might as well be lost people. If you're going to live your whole life determined by the horizontal circumstances, God can't use horizontal circumstances. I always hear that by people who have about this much faith and that much secularism, humanism, self-dependency. Yeah, God can use circumstances, but God can just speak to you plainly and clearly and move upon your mind to walk out of a job, to walk out of a housing allowance, to walk out of security and step into the unknown, not knowing where you were going, just knowing He was calling you out of something. And that was enough. God can tell you, you know, it's time for you to leave your hometown where you know everybody, where everybody knows you as an athlete, where everybody knows you based on what you did, and to move to a town in the mountains of North Carolina where you know no one and make less money than what you were making when you left, totally established, with a church where you'd baptized over 200 people in the last 4 years, and you could just name anything you wanted to name religious. And you step up there and say, God's told me it's over. Building a gymnasium and a fellowship right after the ground had been broken and construction had begun for 6 months. Just out of the blue, God said, no. I commune with Him every day. I try to. When you develop that relationship and that conversation, you can be sensitive to the unseen movements of God upon your mind and upon your heart. And it ain't like He spoke to me in a day. You know, He deals with you for weeks and for months. And you come to that place of certainty where you look at Patty and say, Patty, you're not going to believe this, but I think it's time for me to do this. Or Patty, I think it's time for me to go in this direction. And I lived the first 23 years of my life as a Christian, but now just doing what the world would say I should have done. And living by pride and self-reliance. So what I'm teaching you today is all in the Bible. And if you're a Christian, we need to live by what's in here. Look what it says in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it talks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that it might be found in the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. But notice verse 8. I've never studied verse 8. This is incredible. You're going to glorify Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we're going to pause there for a moment. How do you love somebody you've never seen? Well, I'm standing before you right now telling you I love Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you I know Jesus Christ loves me. And though I have never seen Him, I do experience the reality of His presence. It's like the wind. He's the pneuma. Whom having not seen, ye love. So what is faith today? How are we going to define faith today biblically? We're going to define it this way. Faith is the divine ability to mentally apprehend. The divine ability to mentally apprehend something as a real fact that is not revealed to our natural senses. That is not revealed to our natural senses. Can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't hear it. But I have mentally apprehended. Now, I wrote in parentheses this. That is not revealed to our natural senses. Or another way to write it would be that is not perceived by our natural senses. And then the divine ability to mentally apprehend with certainty something is a real fact. So now you understand why the first bit of faith is tied into creation. I wasn't there when God created the world. You weren't there when God created the world. Matter of fact, God said unto Job, Job, where were you when I created the world? But I want to tell you something right now. I know God created the world. Amen. How do you know that, Brother Leo? I know it by faith. I know it by the faith Jesus has given me. And if you can say you know God created the world, you got faith. And that's a wonderful thing. And you need to understand the power, the strength, the energy, and the depth of your faith. I wasn't there when Jesus rose from the dead. But I want to tell you something. I know Jesus Christ rose from the dead. How do you know that, Brother Lim? I know that by my faith. And if you're here today, if you're listening on the website, you need to email us and say, Brother Leo, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. We'll do it. You know, we'll meet if you're local. If you're not local, we'll talk. Because every man has the capability to grasp with certainty the unseen things of God. We call it a measure of faith. And God's gift. I wasn't there when he walked on water, but I know he walked on water. I cannot even understand how all my sins and all your sins were placed upon him on that cross. Just in this one room. But of all the universe and all humanity through all the ages, I cannot understand it. But I know that that happened. How do you know? By faith. My friend, you've got to understand, as a child of God and as a Christian, you have accepted as fact with certainty more than you'll ever realize. And you need to just praise Jesus and thank Him. And you need to leave this place today saying, man, I have got more faith. My faith is stronger than what I realize. The devil's always lying to me, telling me I don't have enough faith, which is a lie. You got the mustard seed and that's enough. But the bottom line is this, my friend. Our whole lives are based on faith as a Christian. And we just need to apply that faith into the horizontals. Whatever horizontal storm here, trial here, tribulation or challenge here, you want that faith that can stand here and say, I know Jesus Christ lives. I know He lives. I know He's at the right hand of God. I know His Spirit indwells me. And you need that certainty to start going into these areas where you're not applying it. And grasp it. And stand up and say, I know that this is going to work together for good. And it's going to bring Your glory, Lord Jesus. And You're going to work these circumstances out. And Lord, it looks like it's getting worse. I mean, Patty and I, we've been in situations where it just got worse. And then it got worse again. And then it got worse again. And you say, well, Brother Leo, what do you do? Well, you only got two options. You either grab hold of God stronger, or you go sit in a corner and cry. I would rather grab hold of God strong. Just say, Lord, I'm just grabbing hold of You. I'm going to keep grabbing hold of You. Because you know what Jesus said? The faith that Peter had when he said, you're the Son of God. He said that faith can absolutely storm the gates of hell. And I want you to understand something. You've got loved ones out there you may need to storm the gates of hell for. And you just grab hold of the Lord. It is an offensive weapon and an energy that God gives us to allow us to rise above and to walk on those waves. The psalmist says, the billows are coming over me. Jesus says, walk on the billows. And it's faith that gives you the energy to do that. So faith is the divine ability to mentally apprehend with certainty something as a real fact that is not revealed to our natural senses, perceived by our natural senses, etc., etc. So go with me back to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you how faith works. I've already made this point, but I want you to understand the point in a different context. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says this, that by faith, I'll wait till you get there. By faith, we understand and perceive with certainty that the worlds were created by the Word of God, so that the things that do appear were created out of, are formed by things that did not previously exist. So you know what that deals with? The past. You say, Brother Leo, what do you mean the past? Well, it's a very specific kind of past. Faith allows you to see the past that you have not experienced. What do you mean? Well, I remember when I was 5 years old, went to kindergarten, all right, I'm not talking about that past. I'm talking about the past that existed before you were born. So faith allows us to see the unseen past. I can go all the way back to creation. I can see God creating. I can go all the way back to the virgin birth of Jesus to see Him as He was born in Bethlehem. My faith allows me to read the Word of God and perceive it and understand it as historical fact when it is sharing historical fact. And I grasped it with all my heart. And see, that was the attack on the Southern Baptist Convention in the late 70s and 80s. We ended up with professors in our seminaries that were challenging the authenticity of the historical facts of the Word of God. And that's when the convention really began to fall apart from a strong doctrinal standpoint. And that's when I first went to ministry and pastors were telling me not to go to seminary. I said, don't go. Or if you go, just go to Southeastern there at Wake Forest. Don't go anywhere else. Or go to Dallas. But sure enough, don't go up here to Louisville. You know, it just got influxed, you know, with all this shallowness. And so our preachers were being taught, you can believe the Bible with the gap theory concerning creation, and you don't have to, you know, God created it, but we got to plug evolution into it. And I just want you to understand, you know, I'm a simple man, and I'm just going to stand on my faith. God said He did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and that word in the Hebrew is the same word we know today that is a 24-hour day. That is when God did it. Amen. And I don't have to try to explain away God's plan to fit it in man's plan. So faith allows us to grasp the past. But let me show you something. We sang about it in our first hymn today about that unclouded day. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, after he does the roll call of faith, look at what he says. He says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." And what he's talking about there is Messiah. That Messiah was coming to Israel. All those fellows died. Moses, Noah, Enoch, Abraham. They all died getting a glimpse and getting a message that Messiah was going to come and save Israel. But they died in faith, not seeing Messiah. But every one of them could have looked you dead in the eye and said, "Repent, Israel, because Messiah is come." They all believed and knew that he was coming. So they saw them afar off in the distance. They were persuaded of God's promises concerning Messiah with certainty. They embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So number two, faith allows you to see the future with certainty. Faith allows you to see the future with certainty. When this country was going through the convulsion of the 60s, Time magazine, on their front cover, they came out with a headline story that said, "God is dead." Billy Graham attacked them like a bulldog and went after them in a tremendous way. And bless his heart, he's still living up there in Black Mountain. Though folks have not seen him in a couple years, and I know his health's deteriorating, but praise God, he was a bulldog. And if you told Billy Graham in the late 50s and early 60s, you know, he had that fiery Southern Baptist delivery and did an excellent job. But he came after Time magazine. They said, "God is dead." And they went on to say in the article that Christians who believe in the return of Christ are hopeless, you know, daydreamers. And it was one of the first major liberal attacks by a massive news organizations in the United States of America. Now we see it all the time. It wouldn't even break a sweat on our brow if that came out today. But then, it was a huge thing. Nobody would even breathe that. But it was one of the apexes of the liberal anti-God movement of the 60s. And so, I say to those people, I know Jesus is coming back. Amen. You know? And you say, "Well, Brother Leo, how can you prove it?" Well, His Word says it. He actually said it. And by faith, I know Jesus is coming back. And when I watch the news now, I don't think God is dead. I don't think God has removed His hand from the world. I think history is going the way the Word of God said it was going to go. And Jesus is very close to coming back. Amen. You say, "Brother Leo, how do you say that?" You say that by faith. That's a sixth sense that you have that is a spiritual and a divine sense that allows you to say Jesus is coming back as certainly as you say, "I am holding a stool in my hand." There's no difference. And if you got that, man, that's a great thing to have. And I'm going to show you why here in a moment. But look at what it says. That they saw afar off in the future in verse 13. Then they said they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What kind of country? Look at what it says in verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly home. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Yeah. I go to prepare for you a city. You know what faith also allows you to do? It allows you to see the past. It allows you to see the future. And as an individual, it specifically allows you to see heaven. You know, we sang the song. All those songwriters had faith because they can see heaven. I want you to understand, I'm headed for a place that is glorious, that is beautiful. Well, there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more anxiety, no more sin. Where I'm going to be filled with infinite amount of peace and joy and glory. Where you and Margie are going to be able to walk together as you sang in that song. And I just want to praise God. I can see it. I can see it. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I know it's there. Amen. By faith, we know not only God exists, but heaven exists. It's a place for us. If you're sitting in this room, or if you're listening on this website, and you're saying, Brother Leo, I wish I could believe like you believe. Well, you need to pray this simple prayer. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's biblical. Lord, just help me to believe the way you want me to believe. Because you know what Jesus Christ wants? He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to believe about him. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to believe every word that's spoken. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people in this world, I could sit down with them with the book of Revelation and say, look at here, this is what heaven's going to look like. This is what the walls are going to look like. These are the different stones and gems that are represented here. And I'll give you the English words for them. And this is going to be the dimensions. And this is where the river of life will be. And this is where the tree of life is going to be. And these are the 12 different fruits. And I could explain these things. And they'd look at me like I was crazy. Now, I mean, they would look at me like I was crazy, but the bottom line is, I'm not crazy. I know that all this is true. And that's faith. And my friend, if you got that faith, you need to take it and put it in some other areas in your life. You need to take the faith that you have in the past, according to the Word, that you have in the future, according to the Word, and that you have about heaven, according to the Word, and put it in this horizontal situation right here today and tonight. Get the strength and the energy of that faith moving upon your life. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Faith is the divine ability to believe in, to know, to mentally apprehend with certainty the things of God that are unseen. And I want to tell you, 100% of my relationship with Jesus Christ is unseen. His Spirit is the wind. I know he indwells me, but I can't see inside of me that he's indwelling me. But I believe there's light in me, divine light, divine wind. I talk with him. I hear his voice. You hear his voice audibly? No, I don't hear his voice audibly. But I hear impressions in my mind. I hear statements in my mind, impressions on my heart. Leo, you need to get up and do this. Leo, you need to put this in the outline. Leo, you need to take that out. Sometimes there are times when I'm working on these outlines and the Holy Spirit's just pouring stuff so fast I'm having to scribble it down because I don't want to miss it. Yeah. And then I go back and organize under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then on Sunday mornings, Saturdays, as I'm going back over the outline again, stuff gets taken out and stuff gets moved around. And it is not me. I can tell you, I know it's not me. There's a feeling I have within me where I know it is not me. Just like the feeling I have right now, it is not me. Now, when I'm out there shaking your hand, it'll be me again, but right now it's not. And God is real. And his Spirit's real. And his Spirit's real in each one of you. We don't need to apologize for it. We need to proclaim it. We need to let the world know. Because I think a lot of Christians sit around and wonder, well, what does he have, or what does she have, or what are they, or what do I not have? We need to discuss these things. Because unto every man's given the same measure of faith. Yeah. You know, we've all got access. Now, when you are using your faith, it changes things. The faith that I've just talked about, when you're using it in a specific situation, it's going to change things. Now, let me make my point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, I'm just going to stop right there. See, the whole Bible's full of this stuff, Ken. Paul's saying, I don't even look at the stuff that's seen. You think I'm going to let this get me down today? I'm not even looking at it. You're going to work, somebody had a wreck, you're stuck in traffic for 6 hours. Paul's saying, I'm going to sit in my car, I ain't even going to look at all this stuff. But that's what he's saying. He's in prison. He's being whipped. He's being scourged. He says, I am not going to focus on all these terrible things that are going on, that are happening to me. I'm not going to look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you're living by faith, your whole perspective is going to change. Well, how's it going to change? These temporary things that are of this world, whether they be material things, whether they be recognition, whether they be some human achievement or all these things, they're not going to be nearly as important to you as the eternal things that you're waiting for to get in heaven. So when you put faith into a certain situation, it's going to change the way you handle the situation and the way you approach the situation. You know, just like young ladies and young men that are in high school, you don't want to do anything temporarily to be popular. You don't want to do anything temporarily to be popular. And if you want to have a friend ought to have the depth that they're going to like you because of who you are. And if you're going to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they need to like you because of who you are. You know, there's going to have to be that depth of faith in your life where you apply these things to every situation. And they change your perspective. But notice what else happens here. Look at what the scripture says. I want to read it in context. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed and strengthened day by day. Even though we're going through this horrible trial, I've been imprisoned unjustly. They are beating the tar out of me. But I want you to know I'm getting stronger every day because I'm keeping my eye on the eternal prize. I'm going to glorify Jesus in this no matter what. And then look at what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's saying, I don't care what I go through in this life or how bad it is or how hurtful or how harmful or how devastating it may be. It cannot compare to the rewards and joy I'm going to enjoy in heaven. And he kept that mindset. Now notice what it says in chapter 5 verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved or destroyed, as these people whip the tar out of me in this prison, I have another body in a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens for me. And so look at what he's saying. I am groaning to be clothed upon with my house, which is from heaven. Disease can wreak our body. Physical maladies can come our way. But I praise God. You know what my faith says? This is not all there is. You know, I don't want to leave. You know, I want to be right here to love my family and enjoy the things God's given me here. But I want to tell you something. The moment I leave here, I'm going to be in far, 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 far better shape. And I know that. I know that. And so we always have that perspective. As Lehman says, I'm a winner either way. Amen. And that's my faith. Amen. So, look at the faith of Jesus Christ one more time, and then I close with one other verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is the faith of Jesus on the cross. This is the faith of Jesus that was in action. It was what he saw when he was on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are urged in verse 1 to run with patience the course of life that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, not our faith, but faith, the faith that he's put in our hearts, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So what was the power and energy that kept him enduring the cross? With the eyes of faith, he saw heaven. He saw the right hand of God where he would be sitting. And so he kept going. No matter what, Lord, I'm going to endure. No matter what, Lord, I'm going to glorify you. No matter what, Lord, I'm going to serve. Oh, there are hypocrites in the church, so I'm going to quit going. I don't care if every church in Wayne County is full of hypocrites. I'm going to keep glorifying the Lord. You endure. Well, somebody did me wrong. Well, nobody has ever done you as wrong as they did the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Suck it up and endure for the glory of God. We are in a culture of weakness and victimization. Make sure you don't fall into that mindset. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. And everybody in this room can say, I am so, so blessed above anything I could ever deserve. So I say unto you by faith, Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you. And I will endure and I will move forward and I will glorify you. His faith in action on the cross. Let me close out with a familiar verse. Go to John 20. I kind of disputed with the Lord over this outline. And it probably looks like a good bit, but it's really not. And I said, this message is going to be too short. And I was concerned because I know Patty's sharing a lot of really good stuff with her young people. But I just want to thank the Lord that he knew. And I didn't. He said, don't add anything to it. Just leave it like it is. In John chapter 20 and verse 24, Thomas, called Didymus, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came that day after he rose from the dead. And so the other disciples told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I can see in his hand the print of the nails, I'm not going to believe. 8 days later, Thomas was with them, and Jesus came in, stood in the midst of them, said, peace be unto you. And then he looked Thomas dead in the eye and he said, all right, reach here your finger. Touch my hands. Take your hand and put it on my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And I believe he fell before him. And then Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But more blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know what I can see right now? When in my mind, when I look at my Jesus, I can see the nail prints in his hand. I can see the scar over the wound in his side. Point of Grace sings a song called Heal the Wound But Leave the Scar. A reminder of how merciful you are. So those scars are reminders. But you know how I see the nails and how I see that? I see that with the eyes of faith. And you see the same thing. You see the same thing. I want you, as we close out today, to meditate upon the strength of your faith. That you can say without a doubt everything Brother Leo said. I believe, I know, I grasp. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for the strength of my faith that you have placed in me. And I want you to meditate on that during this time of invitation. And I want you to also meditate on a situation in your life where you need to move by faith. You need the energy of the faith of Jesus Christ to just take over and lift you up in some trial or tribulation that you're facing. You need that resolve and that endurance that can only come from God. That this thing's going to make me stronger. Patty and I quoted many times. And we quoted the words of Joseph and the words of Paul. And they were this. Satan meant this for our destruction. But God has turned it for our good. And you got to understand that. A lot of things. Satan's trying to destroy you, your marriage, and your family. And in 30 years, if you don't think Patty and I have been attacked in those arenas over and over and over again, you have no idea. And to destroy the ministry, to stop me from being in a pulpit time and time and time again. And not till a handful of years ago did we learn to be able to say, Satan has made this for our destruction, but God is turning this for our good. And so you look the devil right in the eye, though you can't see him either, and you say, I'm going to get stronger through this thing. I got a phone call one time, and when I hung up the phone, I turned to God. I'd just gotten out of the hospital, been in the hospital three times that year over almost 30 days, and I turned to God and I said, I will never live through this. I'll never live through it, Jesus. This will take me out. In a state of shock, I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, you just got to help me get dressed because there are things I got to do today. But I will never live through. I'll never forget telling God that. And you know what happened? I kept getting stronger. I kept getting healthier. I kept getting stronger in the pulpit. And I kept learning and learning and learning. And I learned to seek the Lord in a depth where I learned how to grab God and depend on Him to change things. And I thought I was going to die. I said, I'll never survive this. My friend, your faith is a powerful weapon given to you by God. You claim all these things you know with certainty, and you apply them to whatever uncertainty you're facing today. And you get the victory. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come. Say, Brother Leo, I've asked the Lord into my heart, but I need to publicly tell the world that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I need to talk to you about baptism. Or if you're here today and you are saved and you want to be part of this fellowship, I'm going to ask you to come. Say, Brother Leo, I'm saved. I got saved years ago. I've been baptized. I want to become an official member here. Shoulder the load with you folks. I want you to understand, church membership is not an important thing to me. As far as having your name written on a book, but I want to give you that opportunity. But I tell you what is important. Jesus Christ hung and died on that cross publicly for you. And He wants you to take a public stand for Him. You say, Brother Leo, I'm not good in front of crowds. I want you to understand, anytime you take a stand for Jesus publicly, it's a humiliating experience, and it is supposed to be, because you're to share in the shame and the humiliation of the cross. And so I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm going to ask you, if you're listening on this website and you can make a decision for Jesus, to email us and to let us know. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, Judy's going to play softly for a few moments. And if the Lord's moving on you to say, I'm going to take a stand for Jesus today, And I'm also wanting to join this fellowship. I'm going to ask you to come. And if you just want to come and pray with me and say, Brother Leo, we need to get together so I can talk to you about some things, we will do that. And if none of these situations apply to you, I want you to rifle shot your faith into a specific situation during this time. If you need to come up here and bow on your knees and pray, you come on. And you make a commitment of faith unto Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Holy Spirit, please take over this time.